Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119. In verse 165, great peace have they that love your law. The word law there really should not be translated as law. It should really be translated as doctrine. Great peace have they that love your doctrine. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. Young people, have you ever wondered how to succeed at anything? I'll bet you have. We all wonder that. How am I going to go about something, especially something big like your life? How are you going to be able to go about your life and be successful? And I'm not talking about success like money or fame. Some people crave things like that. I'm talking about deep success, success that is meaningful. Sometimes people think that money is the ultimate success, but it's really not. It always amazes me how some very rich people, look at the Hollywood types, for example, they need therapists. They're very rich. They're multi-millionaires, sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars or even more, sometimes billions. And they're going to see therapists because of all their problems. They don't know how to handle them. Okay, you got money, but you're still a loser. You still can't handle your day. You still don't know how to deal with things. You still don't know how to think correctly. You just know how to pretend to be something if you're an actor, or you're good at something else. You don't have to be an actor. A successful businessman, and he still has problems with high blood pressure due to stress and anxiety and all that. It's not really success. It's money, but it's not success. Success really is when you live your life in a way that is fulfilling and full of contentment. When your life has meaning to it and purpose, and you keep that purpose throughout your life, you keep contentment throughout your life, you keep the joy of the Lord throughout your life, you keep God's perspective throughout your life, you keep a relationship with Him throughout your life. And then you have success, not only personal and inward, but that kind of success also brings an outward manifestation. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything, all these things that people desire, will be added unto you." So not only do you have the inward success, the personal contentment and satisfaction and purpose and fulfillment, but then you also do get the material outward relationships and friends and money and whatever else you have, unless God has a sovereign, in other words, a specific and unique call that He designed for your life that will take you in a different direction. Great peace have they that love your doctrine. Nothing will offend them or make them stumble. There is great success. You ever meet someone who is offended? They don't get their way. They don't like something you said. They don't always like something about you, and they're offended. You ever meet somebody who'll stumble, who cannot stand their ground with God, and they'll stumble around? You know why? They don't have great peace because they have an issue with doctrine. It doesn't mean that they hate doctrine. It means they don't know how to love doctrine. They don't know how to take the Word of God in specifics with application in the details of their life. They don't know how to do that on any sort of consistent basis. And they don't know how to do it in such a way that circumstances will not affect their relationship to doctrine. Circumstances will not affect their relationship to God, to right decisions, to other people, and so on. They know how to think with God, and make godly decisions on the basis of thinking with God. Now, sometimes it takes some guts to make godly decisions. Christianity is not for cowards. I remember, for example, Pastor Palmer. He was one of my teachers in Bible college. He died in 1997 of cancer. That guy had a backbone. That guy had guts. I used to look at him, and he was the sweetest, gentlest, kindest man you could possibly want to meet, but he had a titanium backbone. There was nothing that could sway him. There was nothing that could get him from straying from truth, from straying from his relationship with God, from straying from being true and faithful to the Word of God, to the people of God. Nothing could make him do that. I don't care if you put a fire under him, nothing could make him do that. We used to think of him as a teddy bear with a titanium spine. Because that guy was incredible. You know why he was like that? He loved the Word of God in specifics, and he loved using it in the details of his life. He had the guts to do it. There's a surefire way, a sure bet, a sure thing with God. The Word of God is a sure thing with God. Living by every Word of God is a sure thing for success. Real success, not like the world calls success. Real success with God. It's a sure thing. Young people, you want to live in a sure thing. If you try to go out on your own and do it apart from God, God will allow you to do it. But then it's all up to you. You are on your own. Don't look for God to support sin, to support the things that are not of God. He will redeem you. He will restore you. He will be patient with you. And if you stray from Him, He will take you back the moment you decide you want to come back. He will not hold it against you. He will completely accept you, and He'll completely forgive you. He'll cleanse you from your sin. Absolutely. But He will also allow you to stray if you insist. If you do, you've chosen a difficult path. The Word of God says that the way of the transgressor is hard. And it is. Look at people, for example, who get into drugs. They start out maybe as teenagers, and they go to some party and they start smoking some pot, and then they get into some cocaine, and then they go from there to heroin or meth or something else. And before too long, they're on the streets, they're in their mid-20s, they don't have a home, they don't have a job, they barely have a brain left. Because the way of the transgressor is hard. I remember when I was working in the emergency room, we had a 40-year-old man come in who lived in a nursing home, and he had been there 6 years already. He was in the emergency room because he had a heart infection, but he was living in the nursing home from the time that he was 34 because he had destroyed his brain with drugs. The way of the transgressor is hard. There's pleasure in sin for a season. The drugs made him feel good for a little while, but the end of it is death. His life was basically over at 34 years old, although his heart was still beating, his brain was really nowhere to be found. The way of the transgressor is hard. You don't want to go the route of the transgressor. You don't want to go the route of the person who is not faithful to God. You don't want to go the route of the unbeliever. You don't want to go the route of the one who decides, I'm going to do it on my own. I don't need God. And then through very difficult things, hopefully find out that they do need God, or even worse, never find that out, never become born again, and then end up in hell in the long run. The way of the transgressor is hard, but there is a sure thing with God. They that love doctrine, nothing can offend them and nothing can cause them to stumble. In Isaiah 32:17, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Now, righteousness in Romans 3:22 is simply faith. So, the work of faith in somebody's life is that they'll have peace. It's interesting what medical doctors tell us about a lack of faith. Because a lack of faith will produce a lack of peace. And a lack of peace means that people will live in anxiety, they will live in stress, insecurity, fear. Sometimes they will live in this pressure that's constantly on them, perhaps because of their jobs or their family. And as a result, their blood pressure goes up. They have certain types of hormones created in their body that damage their body because those hormones are not meant to stay there for a long time. They're only meant to stay there for very short periods of time while they escape from danger. But these people have these hormones going on sometimes for months, sometimes for years, sometimes for decades. It destroys their heart. It destroys their organs, other organs, the kidneys take a beating, then they turn to something like drinking or drugs or smoking or something, and it really messes them up, and they die 20, 30, 40 years earlier than they had to. They didn't take the sure thing. They didn't trust God. They didn't have peace. They didn't have quietness and assurance, confidence forever with God, because they didn't apply doctrine. It's a sure thing. Young people learn this. The Word of God is a sure thing. You cannot, it is absolutely 100% impossible to go wrong with the Word of God. Now, you may not always understand things. You may not always understand why something happens or the purpose of something. But the fact that someone doesn't understand is not in any way the same as the Word of God not being faithful and true. There's a lot of things people don't understand. They're still true. Most people don't understand Einstein's theories of relativity and how those were actually proven and what they actually do and how they show up all the time. They don't understand them, but that doesn't change the fact that they are true. Likewise, with the Word of God, with the ways of God, we don't always understand them, but that doesn't change the fact that they are true. Don't ever confuse not understanding with the Scriptures or some other truth not being true. Now, in Proverbs 3 and verse 1, I want you to pay careful attention to this, young people. This can make or break a lot of things in your life, maybe your entire life. My son, it says there, it could just as easily say my daughter, but it says my son because this is Solomon talking to his son. My son, forget not my doctrine, but let your heart keep my commandments. In other words, the principles that I've taught you. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. When you apply doctrine, and when you learn how to think with the Word of God, you have a promise that you're going to have a long life. Unless God has some unique, special, individual plan for you, this promise is for anyone who will love the Word of God and apply it, who will love doctrine. Don't forget doctrine. Don't forget how to apply the Word of God. Don't forget what it says. It'll be a long life to you. Why? Because the work of righteousness shall bring peace. And peace gives you good health. And good health results in a lack or much fewer in number things like heart attack and stroke and cancer and the things that commonly kill people. When you have peace, you don't have anxiety. You don't have stress hormones rising through your body, destroying your heart. Doctrine gives you a long life when you do not forget it, when you do apply it. In verse 3, it continues, let not mercy and truth forsake you. In other words, keep yourself in mercy, keep yourself in truth. Mercy is the patience of God. Truth is the word of God in John 17:17. Bind them around your neck. Now, when something is around the neck, it's talking about volition, choices. Make sure that your choices are always based on mercy and on truth, on the word of God, on doctrine. Make sure that you are ruled by mercy and by truth. Now, nobody ever says to themselves, I'm going to be ruled by a lie. I really prefer the lie. But when people walk away from God and when they walk out of faith and they go into something else, they're actually choosing a lie. Don't let that happen to you. There are two kingdoms and two kingdoms only, and one of those kingdoms, you will, there's no choice about it, you will serve one. Which one? That's the only choice you have. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, and the kingdom of God means that you are operating by faith that brings you into grace. On the other hand, if you're operating in Satan's kingdom, that means you've abandoned faith, you've entered into the tree of knowledge, a good and evil principle, you walk by sight and self-orientation. In self-orientation, you try to do things like self-preservation. Self-preservation never works. The more you try self-preservation, the more you blow things, because it simply never works. It didn't work for Adam and Eve. It has never worked for anybody. Jesus said, don't live in self-preservation of your old sin nature. Let me crucify you and set you free from it. If you want to go that route, you can, but you're not going to be happy about it, I'll guarantee you. Because the Word of God says as much. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Let your choices be controlled by them. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, there are two things that Christians deal with, and they come in balance. On the one side, we live in Satan's world, and he's constantly attacking Christians because he doesn't want people getting saved, and then he doesn't want God being glorified. On the other hand, because of what a Christian is, a real Christian, I'm not talking about religious people who try to act something up. I'm talking about Christians who know how to think with God, who have the love of God in their frame of reference, who have a real working relationship with Him. These people are very kind. They're very understanding. They're very wise. They have wisdom beyond measure. And they're very gentle. They're very gracious. And they're very appealing to people. A real Christian, people will want to be around that person and they don't even know why. Well, it's the Holy Spirit inside of them. It's God living inside of them that's appealing to everyone because that God is being expressed by that real Christian. If you want that good favor, that understanding from both God and people, then you're going to do it through mercy and truth and not forsaking them. Then it continues in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, this is one of the trickiest things there is because we're taught by the world, by culture, in schools that are not Christian schools and sometimes schools that are Christian, we're taught to live by our own understanding. People will say to you, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I'll tell you something, you're no earthly good unless you're heavenly minded. In other words, unless you know how to think with God, you're not going to be much use on earth. Now, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Have His word in your frame of reference. Heart speaks of frame of reference, the way you see things. Have it be His word of God. And don't lean on your own understanding. The problem with that is exactly what Adam and Eve experienced in the garden. In verse 7 of Genesis 3, Adam and Eve started to lean on their own understanding after they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In verse 7, their eyes were opened and they saw they were naked and they made themselves fig leaves. And it had absolutely no benefit to them at all. First of all, they saw that they were naked and they made fig leaves. Why did they make fig leaves? Because they were naked. Why do you need to make fig leaves just because you're naked? You're Adam and Eve. You've been naked since the day you were created. It's never been a problem. God made you to be this way. Why is it a problem now? Because they lean on their own understanding. Listen to this next statement. It will blow your mind if you remember it, how often it's true. People who lean on their own understanding create problems for themselves and then also around them with other people. No one has the ability to lean on their own understanding and have it work for them, at least not in the long run. You lean on your own understanding and you're going to have more problems than you'll ever know what to deal with. Adam and Eve made a problem from something that was not a problem. They were naked, that was no problem. Leaning on their own understanding, it became a problem. It was not a problem. They made it a problem. Leaning on your own understanding comes from self-orientation. And self-orientation is about the worst thing that anybody can get into, and most people do, unfortunately. Because it means that you no longer have eternal perspective, you no longer have God's mind to think with, you're basically using sin as your frame of reference and calling it good. It's a disaster. Don't go there. All of a sudden people get defensive and protective and insecure and jealous and all kinds of things. All kinds of bad things come out of that. That's because they leaned on their own understanding. Instead of trusting. That's it. You just trust Him. He said it. Trust Him. Don't wonder. Don't worry. Trust Him. God is true to His word. He always has been. He always will be. You're not going to be the first one that God has lied to. No one ever will be. God can't lie. You can trust Him. Then it says in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. That's a huge promise. You don't know the outcome of your decisions. You may have a plan, you may have a goal, you may have something you're hoping for. That's all well and good. But you don't know the outcome of your decisions. Instead of trying to figure out what to do and when to do it apart from God, why don't you just acknowledge Him in all your ways? God, can you cause me to make the right decision? God, I need your help. I don't understand. Give me wisdom. God, cause me to make the right choices. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways. It doesn't say big ways only. It says all of your ways. Nothing too big, nothing too small with God. All of your ways. Acknowledge Him. And He'll direct your path. You acknowledge God in all your ways and you've got a sure thing. There are times when people have had outcomes that they weren't expecting, but they prayed. And they said to me afterwards, Pastor, I don't know if I made the right decision. And I asked them, did you pray? And they said, yes. I said, then you have a promise. You made the right decision. God will cause you to make the right decision when you pray. You never have to worry. Did I blow that? Look at the outcome. No, you don't have to worry. I could have had this if I did that. Did you pray? Yes, then you don't have to worry. You made the right decision. You see, today there may be one outcome, but tomorrow the bigger outcome comes along that tells the whole story. But you don't know what that is when you're making the decision. So you always acknowledge Him and He directs your path. Then in verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. The fool is always wise in his own eyes. If you want to be an absolute fool, be wise in your own eyes. Well, I think I should do it this way. Oh, you're a moron. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Why? Why can't I be wise in my own eyes? Because I don't know the end from the beginning? Because I can't see past my nose? Because I have absolutely no way, and either do you, of knowing what's really going on? Because I don't know the content of people's hearts? Because I have not seen tomorrow? How can I be wise in my own eyes? But some people are. They think they're very wise. They think they can figure it out, and they're always wrong. You want to blow it? Be wise in your own eyes. Now, here's a good one. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, notice this. There's something in the Bible called the law of contrasts. This is an example of the law of contrast. Being wise in your own eyes is the opposite of fearing the Lord and departing from evil. Being wise in your own eyes is very deceitful because it takes you to walking by sight in the natural thought processes of the fallen nature, and you don't realize how easily you're controlled by the enemy. Be not wise in your own eyes. Why? So you will not be tricked by the enemy. Evil is Satan's kingdom. Don't be wise in your own eyes so Satan can't have influence in your life. That's what he's saying there. And now he says, what will be the result of this? What is the result of the sure thing? It'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. That's talking about emotions. When you see words like navel or kidneys or intestines or bowels, you're talking about emotions. It'll give you healthy emotions. I'll tell you something, folks. Nowadays, bad emotions are a huge problem in the world. And they're not bad in as much as they're making people necessarily insecure or angry or what have you. They're bad because people are thinking with the emotions and they cause them all kinds of problems. Bad emotions are emotions that are not initiated to by God's thinking, and therefore they have to respond to something that they're not made for. And that will become a problem, and that will often lead to some really bad choices, even though you might be deceived and think they're good. But they're going to end up being really bad choices. A lot of evil in the world comes from these emotions that are the result of a lack of the Word of God. And they're marrow to your bones. That means they're good health. If you trust in the Lord, you love the Word, you don't lean on your own understanding, you acknowledge Him in all your ways, you're not wise in your own eyes, you do depart from evil, it'll give you very healthy emotions, and it'll give you good physical health. Now, there are those individuals who, in the perfect will of God, may be tested with their health. And that's a whole different ballgame. I'm talking about people generally, not unique individual testing situations. Really healthy emotions and really good health. Ask anybody who's close to the end of their life. If they have those two things, They have real success. Doesn't matter how much money they had. Doesn't matter how much fame or status or influence or any of that other stuff, power. It always boils down to the same thing. They want to be happy, good emotions, and they want to be healthy. There's a sure thing with God that'll produce those things. And it starts with loving doctrine, loving and applying the Word of God. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."